This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
So it seems as though we have a clip. You want to set it up for us?
I'd like to, but I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, we'll just roll it.
And now, the whole show's clip of the day.
All right, Rich Paul, LeBron James' agent, has had a lot of things to say recently. He was on his podcast with Max Kellerman. They have obviously like a predetermined kind of conversation. They know what they're going to ask. They know what they're going to get into. Then on Friday, we talked about the whiteboard that he had that shows, you know, LeBron in the middle with all the potential lineups that would surround him if he were to go to the Nuggets, if he would were to go to the Cavs, the Timberwolves, or the 76ers on there too. He was on the podcast, though, talking about specifically the things he's looking for. Now, this is a long one, but it is insightful to kind of give you maybe a glimpse into what he and LeBron James are looking at for the future. Here is our clip of the day. LeBron's agent, Rich Paul.
You can sometimes use a game to figure out the problem and then like, you know what, act on it.
You know what I worked on today? Jeff and I, today, we talked about, I mean, we were together all this morning. But today I worked on, we talked about defensive ratings, on-ball defense from individuals, help defense from individuals, looking at how offenses is ran, and it's so much that I probably don't have to do all the things that I do, but I choose to do it because – I just think it's important.
You mean going into the analytics and seeing way the different components of defense.
You know, I'm not the biggest analytics person, but I want to have some of it. And I think as you're really dissecting things and evaluating things, it goes all the way down to, what has been the history of someone in this position valuing a possession. That's going to matter.
Especially because it is hard to tell just by the naked eye because there's so many reps, right? I should look it up. I just followed this account on Twitter. Too lazy to look it up right now, but I'll shout it out next show. Some analytics guy who's on Twitter, I think, who does interesting kind of deep dives into it to explain in English what the analytics say about different players. And one of the interesting things about Jaylen Brown, and this is where analytics come in handy. You could see he's a good defender. He's a good defender, period. He's a two-way player. But sometimes, a guy gets a reputation because one season he had a great defensive season. The next season he might not be quite as good. He's still a good defensive player. Mm-hmm. It's hard unless you're watching a lot of games of that player.
Right.
It's hard to tell. And the analytics might tell you, hey, or even on offense, I read something interesting that Kawhi's offense is not affected by the defense he plays. Meaning his offense is the same whether he's playing a great defensive team or a mediocre defensive team. He's going to get his, right? There's nothing you can do to really stop him from getting his. Whereas other players, one mentioned was Cade Cunningham, which surprised me. I love Cade. Struggles against good defenses. Maybe that's because he doesn't really have a second scoring option on the team,
That would have had a lot to do with it this year.
But the analytics are important in terms of to gauge where a guy is at a moment in his career
Because who has time to watch all 82 games that every player?
Well, things plays? Like this. I mean, if you get to make a choice now, it's like, okay, what is the ATO success rate? It's so many different components that you can chop up that we go through from a prep perspective. Now, you may get to a position and you present all this, and that person is still like, yeah, but that don't matter. This is my decision. But that doesn't mean you don't prepare mm-hmm. for it in that way. So it's, you know, like I said, it's a fun time.
So there he is. That's Rich Paul with Max Kellerman on the podcast. That was stemming from the board that they put up. But it just goes to show you, and again, Rich Paul's going to go into the best situation that he possibly can for his agent in LeBron James. Looking at analytics, who's the better team defensively? Well, if he's looking at that for Denver, here's what we know. Denver, one of the worst teams defensively last year. If you put LeBron on that team 10 years ago, okay, he's better. He's not that great of a defensive player now. Maybe he was never overall a great defensive player, but he certainly isn't that guy now. Three-point shooting, there's three-point shooting percentage. They were the best in the league. Field goal percentage, best in the league. So if you stay as is, and again, Joker is a monster part of that, both because his field goal percentage is very good, and he's finding open three-point shooters to increase their chances of upping their percentage. So you can see why the Nuggets would actually be an interesting candidate for Denver or for LeBron. Now, if he's looking at defense, he's going to look at Minnesota and what they were able to do. The other teams, Cleveland maybe, but the other two teams are going to have a lot of unknowns. With the Miami Heat, what are they going to look like now that Giannis is there? What are the 76ers going to look like? I think LeBron is a big fan of Maxey, being alongside Jaylen Brown, Joel Embiid. That seems like a stacked team. But he's going to be, if this really is a basketball decision, which some can argue that it's going to be about whatever's going to be the most dramatic decision. What is going to be the biggest decision that will lead to monster ratings and lead to a championship? Because I make no mistake about it. LeBron James wants to win titles. Don't get it twisted when I bring up, you know, he's going to go to where the better story is. He's going to want to go to the better story slash that leads to a title. That's what he's looking at here. And several of these teams can all make a strong case for that. Minnesota's been clearing house and adding some very interesting players like Melo, bringing Melo and adding him to McDaniel and Rudy Gobert and Anthony Edwards. Yes, Michael.
So if LeBron's not good at defense,
well, I wouldn't say he's not good at defense. He's just not great.
Okay, I'll say not great at defense, and the Nuggets are not good at defense.
Right.
What's the point of bringing him in?
Then you're going to score. Then you're going to ask a 20-point-a-night guy, who that's where LeBron is now. He averages 20 points a night to just contribute to you to your league-leading scoring output. So they don't need help offensively. They need help defensively. So everyone's telling me, people freaked out about it. LeBron makes this team an instant championship contender. He's not doing the thing you need the most very well anymore. And the thing that you're very good at, he's average at. So I'm just trying to, like, his three-point percentage is not great. His field goal percentage was not great. He averaged 20 points a night on a team with Luka Doncic, who is going to be taking a lot of attention away defensively. At some point, Father Time's going to keep catching up to him. And is this the year that it... Now, is he still a really good player? Yes. He is a really good player. But the things that you need from him the most are not what he provides at this stage in his career. So I ask, why? Just for the name? Is this just a name Josh Kroenke wants so he can put that name on the back of a jersey and sell the crap out of it?
Maybe. Look, if LeBron James, he's an older fellow now, which means you're going to have younger people come up off the bench more than usual because LeBron's going to get tired.
And they
so
just
you
lost
better make sure
key...
that bench is good.
Yeah, and you just lost one of your key bench players in Tim Hardaway Jr. So, I mean, okay, so his three-point percentage isn't atrocious. It's just not what it was when he started out, even with the Lakers, or what it was like during his time with Cleveland. He's been in the league a long freaking time, man. And he's on the Mount Rushmore of NBA all-time greats. There's zero question in my mind. But at this stage in his career, I'm just curious, is the juice worth the squeeze? Is it worth bringing him over? And you are it will be a documentary show. This will now, you know, they're going to have different camera crews all over that facility. They're in the locker room, everywhere. And it's the complete opposite thing we've been told that Nikola Jokic is into. He's not into that. He doesn't like the cameras all over the place. He doesn't want to go to a parade to celebrate Denver's only championship that he was mainly responsible for. And you mean suddenly he's going to be good with, this is the LeBron show. I don't think Joker has an ego. I don't think there's like a competition of whose show is it. But it will be ESPN coverage of the Denver Nuggets and LeBron James on the daily. Every single night, it will be LeBron James and the Denver Nuggets. And if some people say, Brady, swallow your pride. If it results in winning more games and winning championships, again, I ask. LeBron got to L.A. in 2018. He spent 8 years with the Lakers. They won one title, and that was in the bubble. And I've read the book. The bubble was a sideshow. They weren't traveling. Their families weren't there. They could do whatever the hell they want, as long as they had a mask on. They stayed in the finest resort. They were out in the hotel bars, hanging out, put their sandals on, walk over and go play basketball. Completely different feel. No crowd. And so that was the one title he got, was with the Lakers, was in 2020. And everybody will tell you that in any sport, that was, you know, any win. Like CSU beat Wyoming that year in football. And I think there's still a lot of CSU fans are like, yeah, I don't even really know if I want to claim that.
Yeah, I mean, we were saying this from like football season when football was starting up and some people weren't playing. It's like, well, if you win the national championship, asterisk year, because some schools are playing just four games.
Yeah, some look at baseball. Baseball took forever to get their season under control so they could actually start in the middle of the summer. So they played way less games. That's a big asterisk there because half the battle of baseball is surviving the marathon of the season.
Even hockey fell victim to this. And you can make an argument no matter who you are. You can make an argument that's not a legit victory because things were so weird, not a legit championship. And I'm on that side. Even if the Rockies had won.
All I'm saying is he did get a title with the Lakers, but it was the most bizarre of titles that you can get. And even the Nuggets made history that year. They were down 3-1 in two playoff series in a row and came back and won. I'm not trying to be a hypocrite here or one side of the argument. I don't necessarily acknowledge that as being as historic. It's cool that it happened and nobody's ever done it before, but it was also in the bubble. And I think we need to be fair and make sure we mention that. So this talk of LeBron's going to make you an instant championship contender didn't do it last year. Didn't do it the year before or the year before that or the year before that and the 2 years prior to that. With Cleveland, he got one out of his second four-year stint with the Cavs. With the Heat, he got two out of four. Yes, but you notice the theme. These were all a while ago. 2020 was already 6 years ago when he got his last NBA championship. When did he win it with Cleveland? Was it 17? That's 10 years ago. And then back in the Miami days, that's a completely different LeBron James. His point total has gone down, as it should. He's 42 years old. Every year it's gone down from 30 to 28 to 25 to 24 to now 20.9. His game production has gone down. He played in 70 games last year. He played in 60 games this year. And we're supposed to just ignore this because he's LeBron James. He'll do it for $3 million. Does he make you really that much better? And now you're going to ask, if you, assuming you re-sign Peyton Watson, which I don't know, that's getting murky, you're going to put $20-plus million on the bench? You're going to tell Christian Brown or Peyton Watson at $20-plus million, maybe even $28 for Peyton Watson, that one of those dudes is coming off the bench? You're paying $20-plus million for a backup, for a substitute?
Well, with as much games as LeBron James rests, they're going to be an asterisk bench player because they're going to play more than any other bench player. But still, you got to swallow. If you're one of those guys, you got to swallow your pride.
His minutes during his Lakers stint have hovered around the 33s or so. I mean, you look at Joker's doing the 40 thing. His minutes have been right around that 35 last year, but he played in 70 games, 33 this year. I believe that it's just not worth all the hassle that's going to go into this. I wish they would have traded Jamal Murray for Jaylen Brown. Finding those stories, and that makes it sound like it's even more realistic that that would have happened. And yet, they're sitting around and waiting to see what LeBron's going to do. So you talk about the minutes, like when I said high end of the 30s, Joker played 34.8 minutes per game last year. So like it's like LeBron's minutes haven't actually gone down that much. But is he the same player? And everyone's talking about, well, you got two of the great basketball minds on the same team. Okay. You better have really good playmakers outside of him. And again, we say the three-point percentage was actually not bad. They were the best in the NBA. So I'm asking the question, what is LeBron James adding to this roster that's not already there? What is it? Scoring? They got that. Defense, he's not that. So what is the answer? It's LeBron James. And if the answer is just it's LeBron James, then it's not the answer. But then again, Denver might not make any move at all. Peyton Watson seems to be the priority. I don't know that Peyton Watson even wants to be a Nugget. I have my reasons for that. That's for another day. 23 minutes after the hour. We've got the World Cup in action tonight, Michael. Team USA going at it. Is that 6 o'clock or 7? Why am I asking you? You don't even know what it is.
It's tonight.
Yeah, thank you, Mike. Dynamite drop in. A little like soccer. Okay. You go watch something else. What is our movie this week that we're doing, by the way?
I don't know.
How about The Big Green?
Rudy.
That's a soccer movie. Rudy is a terrible movie.
Rudy is one of the best movies ever made.
Tanner Schwint joining us in studio. We'll talk some Rockies baseball as well as his thoughts on the World Cup. All that and more coming up next. Keep it here on The Whole Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Good morning, NoCo has their eyes on the skies this summer. Here, Denver and Front Range Weather's Cody Wilson on the show for the latest local forecast on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
There's only one feeling, like lighting that open sign for the first time. Like deciding whether or not to frame that first dollar. Like knowing every customer by name when they walk through the door. Whether you're starting from scratch or from a century of tradition. Every business deserves a bank that's been growing communities for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hi, this is Brock Wisney, former UNC men's basketball player, and you're listening to The Whole Show on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Give me fuel, give me fire, give me that which I desire. Ooh.
29 minutes after the hour, Travis, the new guy, texting in. Can you talk more about the contest on Friday and what a big sporting event it was? Which one? We already talked about the hot dog eating contest. What more can I say about that?
I don't think you can say anything more.
What else was there Friday? What other sporting contest was
there? I think that was the one he's talking about.
That was the one?
Yeah, I think that's what he's talking about.
That's what we led the show with.
Yeah, it's got to be the lead.
That was the lead.
We led our show with it, too.
That was the lead. No question. You did not participate in the hot dog eating contest. Tanner Schwint joining us. Good morning, Noko. But you are participating in some golf on Friday.
Yeah, KFK versus the listeners. I am excited about this.
This is a lot of pressure because this is, like, you and I battle each other on stuff, but
now we're under one flag.
We're under one flag.
Yeah.
Yes.
We're like Team USA.
I want us to be 1-0 in our first first challenge here.
Well,
and we're
actually
1-5 because we've lost every bowling thing that we've done.
That's true.
Yeah.
That is true. Did get some devastating news. Doesn't sound like Derbs is going to be able to hit his driver. So it's about 8-iron and in from him, but he hits his 8-iron about as well as I hit my driver. So we're going to need Mike Danson in a big way to hit the tee shots.
So it's you, Mike, Bruce,
and Derbs.
And Derbs.
Kind of.
Kind of.
Kind of Derbs.
But a bad Derbs is still pretty good.
A bad Derbs is better than me. Like right now, Derbs, if you took away his driver and all of his, you know, his 3-wood, his 5-wood, 5-iron, 6-iron, he'd still beat me. It's tough.
I'm looking forward to that. So if that will be Friday. What time are we actually starting the contest?
11 a.m. We'll start right at 11 a.m.
So we'll broadcast that.
Yep. I'm fired up about that. That's going to be fun. I'm slightly nervous. I haven't swung a golf club in 3 weeks. So slightly nervous about that, but I am excited about it. And it's rare this late into June, we're in July now. Yep. It's rare this far into July that we have so many great sporting events that are going on.
We've created.
Yes.
We just created them.
Well, that and the World Cup.
Oh, the World Cup's amazing.
Conor McGregor makes his return.
Oh, I didn't know about that.
Saturday? You're going to be all over that one.
No. Mm-hmm. There will probably be a World Cup game of some sort that I will be watching, so I'll be on that one.
That's fair.
I've had a lot of fun watching this, man. I think it's great.
I always have a hard time knowing who is who.
Oh, I don't.
Do you have any idea who right now?
90% of the time. Well, you got to look at the little...
I figured it out.
Portugal is red.
How'd you figure that out?
Because it's red underneath.
Oh, Portugal. That helps so much.
Yeah, I learned that early on. Stick with me,
also,
kid.
I think that's the color of their flag.
That doesn't always
it
mean,
doesn't.
That doesn't always mean anything because they
Spain has no white in their flag and they're in white uniforms.
And sometimes teams will wear alternate uniforms, so they'll wear like a black jersey or a blue jersey.
Mm-hmm.
If you go look at the top left of your scoreboard and you see the initials of the team, underneath the initials, you'll see a line.
How did you figure that out?
Because I'm a genius, Tanner.
You were obviously struggling with the same thing I was.
100%. I'm like, there's got to be a better way here. And then I'm like, oh, the red thing means that they're the red team. There we go. I don't understand about 84% of what I'm watching.
Yeah.
But I know ball go in goal good.
Unless it wrong goal.
But for fun. If you're just rooting for action like the England-Mexico game last night, that was awesome.
Yeah, that was a blast. That stadium, that environment, that was just a ton of fun. Both countries, obviously rich soccer history. That was a fun game to watch.
What did you make of the red card gate with the Florian Balogun?
Finally, like, the U.S. cares enough to bribe FIFA, it went our way for once. Like, I don't care. This crap happens all the time. Before this tournament started, Derbs was sitting there. The dude down the hall was sitting in here saying, "Oh yeah, no, this is a very scandalous organization." And I said, "Okay, well, I'm pretty sure my taxpayer dollars have gone to worse things. Let's go win a World Cup."
Mm-hmm.
It played out. There's been 5 different red cards that have had some sort of a suspension to the suspension that have happened on there. I don't care. He's the 135th ranked FIFA striker. So it's not like we're talking about Messi. It's not like we're talking about Erling Haaland or Harry Kane or Kylian Mbappe. We're not talking about any of those guys. We're talking about a guy that no American knew about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
And Belgium's acting like, oh, and you
President know, Trump probably didn't know about him 2 weeks ago.
No. I love because he did exactly what all of us started doing when he just started listing off. He's like, oh, I'm going to sound credible. I'm going to name the 5 biggest stars in this. I'm surprised he didn't get to Ronaldo. Maybe he did.
He did actually say Ronaldo, but he just said Ronaldo.
Yeah, I think he did exactly like, oh, no, I know what's going on. Here are these soccer guys, and I clearly know. Mm-hmm. I don't, like, I don't care. Like, if you don't, I don't
well,
know
he
why.
He should have had a red card. If the red card actually, if he should have had it, then I'd be a little bit like, okay, what are we doing?
I
you still don't care?
No, not in this sport, man.
You're the kind of guy that just wants MLB to go back to steroids.
Why would you
so
not want
so we can
that?
Have home run battles again.
Why would you not want that?
Yeah.
That would be sick.
Actually, it would be pretty awesome.
And I don't
Mark
like...
Mark McGuire and Sammy Sosa, that was a legendary time.
Because soccer will not enter my brain again until... How often do they play these? 4 years?
Every 4 years.
It will not be in my brain until 4 years from now.
Really?
So I really do not care. Yeah, I do not care what they do. As long as the USA can win. Like, honestly, it would have been more of an, like, because Belgium, there's going to be an asterisk on it, and they're saying we reserve the right to do all. Like, I would be curious. I'm very curious to see if they're going to take a run at him in tonight's game to see if they can get a red card or something on him. Because, it's like, if he gets a yellow card tonight, what does that mean? Because he's pretty much got put on probation.
I honestly don't even know what it means at any time.
I don't know either, but I just hope USA wins. USA good guys, everybody else bad guys.
My favorite thing about this game, and I'm watching it with my wife, and she's like, why is there a guy over there? Why are they just grabbing the ball and throwing it in right now? This feels like little kid rules. And I'm mm-hmm. like, that's part of what's so much fun about it is they just kind of run around.
Yeah.
And, you know, you never know when a tackle is worthy of a yellow card. It'll look like a guy just got absolutely killed, and then he gets nicked on the toe, and it's like, whoa, that guy, we're actually going to review that. He might need to be locked up.
Yeah, correct. He needs to be arrested. This is what's fascinating to me is that, and I hope Americans are like paying attention to this. We were talking off the air about a Paraguayan senator that just said some incredibly racist things about killing Mbappe.
Yep.
And it's like, I hope Americans are seeing what real racism does look like. Now, I know that there are real racists in our country, but this is what real
dude,
a senator in the Paraguay government. You know, made some remarks about killing Mbappe that I was like, I had to do a double take because I was reading Mbappe's response to it. I couldn't believe it. Like, it's kind of fun to see the different cultures, but then you get the negative side of those cultures too. Like, our biggest thing is, oh, our president happened to call the FIFA guy. Who gives a damn? It happens all the time. The English prime minister called yesterday and said, do not let Mexico move this match time up because he wanted the rain. He wanted it kind of like he wanted a dirty game that was there. And it's just the hypocrisy of Europeans always makes me laugh. And European tears, especially coming after a 250th birthday of this great country. I absolutely love it.
Well, and you talk about the racist side. I don't know like what's being said, but these players hate each other.
That's why
nasty to each other.
That's why they put the rule in there that you can't cover your mouth.
Right.
Because
Harry Kane goes down. Did you see the Mexico player mm-hmm. like bend over and start talking trash into his face while Harry Kane's writhing in pain and he's just sitting there like, yeah, you freaking deserved that or whatever he said. I mean, you do that in the NFL, you're out of the game.
I do like that aspect of it. There is a true, you know, hatred of this. What a save.
Like, not even sports hate, just like actual.
Yes.
Yeah, that was hate.
That was a tremendous save.
We have football on.
Micah, would you like to watch it?
Actually, it's a fun little trick. I put it up in the air, and I show Michael. And look at him. He turns his head.
You are such a child.
I know.
No,
that
I'm
is
just,
unbelievably.
I'm reading up on the football war again.
Unbelievably childish by you.
I mean,
it is.
You're calling me a child. We're all children.
I am. It is hockey, but not on ice. That is what this sport
is. You like won't walk into a room because there's a soccer game on. You will walk out of the room, even though you might have to tell someone, hey, the kitchen's on fire. But you walk into the room and there's a soccer game on, and you turn around and say you hate soccer.
It's called growth. I thought I hated soccer too. And
well, I thought I liked you, but now I have no respect for it.
But even if I hate something and someone's watching it, I'll be like, so what is it that you like about this game?
Oh,
I don't really
I have to have those conversations with my wife all the time with the dumb TV she watches.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not for me. That's fine. You watch it. I'm going to go over here.
Mm-hmm.
And instead, you just act like a child with it.
How about I just not watch something that I don't enjoy?
Well, yeah, but it's not just that. You make fun of people for mm-hmm. watching it. You call it a communist sport. What else have you said?
Mm.
It's not just not watching it. You, like, make fun of people for watching it. How many times have you called Kevin Lytle of the Coloradoan a communist for watching soccer?
Many times.
Yeah, so mm-hmm. you admit.
Matter of fact, I have a picture of the...
Not something that needs to be on the radio.
No, you don't need to say that. But you even admit, like, you... you don't just not watch. You make fun of people for watching it.
Yes.
So you
There are just some dumb things about soccer.
It's relatively entertaining. Like, and this is my thing. I was out on it a couple weeks ago because the flopping was so bad. I mean, just genuinely so bad. And now that we've reached the level where it's the elite of the elite out there, the flopping starts to go away. I mean, that dude, what game? Was that the Canadian game early that just snapped his leg? Like, there is a level of physicality there.
Oh, they're very, they're but very
there are also a lot of, like, Shea would be a great... great soccer player.
I don't think he could. He would last after one of those life tackles. 39 minutes after the hour, the Rockies trade deadline. All of that. Should they do anything? Or how aggressive will they be? Because it does feel like for the first time in a while, the record's still bad, but there is actually still kind of a turn, an uptick for this Rockies team. Do you upset the apple cart? We'll talk about it. First, let's jump out and get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Katie Wingy, your host, reporter, and analyst for the Denver Nuggets, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
So the Rockies take the series over the Giants. They win 7-6 yesterday. They are 37-54. They are not the worst team in baseball. They're not the second worst team in baseball. I think they're like tied with being the third worst team in baseball. And it sounds ridiculous to say it out loud, but at 37-54, there is massive improve going on with this team.
It's July 6th. They've won six less games than what they won the entirety of last season.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Which is amazing. It shows you how bad everything was.
It really was. They're 4-1 in their last five games. And yeah, I'm picking those stats. I heard Michael say they're 5-5 in their last 10. But man, I got to tell you right now, and I'm open to hearing an apology from you. I'm open to hearing it. Dick Monfort didn't need to sell the team. He just needed to bring baseball guys in. He needed to remove
himself from the equation, selling the team.
No, it's not the equivalent of it. He just needed to have an overhaul of that front office. And can we say, you know, you guys are bashing, oh, he's from the Cleveland Browns and this. Paul DeBodesta has got something going already.
I'm not apologizing for anything, but if I were to apologize for anything, I certainly wouldn't do it for 37-54 baseball team.
After last year, after you just said there's six, it's not even the All-Star break.
I believe
there's six games.
I think Warren Schaefer's
no.
the guy.
No.
But seriously, the whole sell the team Dick Monfort thing was to get you out of control, to make him not be the guy making any kind of decisions anymore. Well, it sounds like he stopped.
But it wasn't that they needed to sell the team. Paul DeBodesta came in here. He got his little nerd glasses on, I imagine, just looking around going, oh, we need speed. I don't know why he sounds like Micah. But they went and got a ton of guys that are incredibly fast. They're actually coaching. To your point about Warren Schaefer, I was ready to give up on Kyle Karros. I was ready to be done. And now look at what he's doing, because he's actually receiving coaching. Had a 471-foot go-ahead home run in the bottom of the eighth inning yesterday. It was incredible. They've got talent now, and the one area that they don't have talent is the pitching staff, and they've got quite the conundrum with the trade deadline coming up, because your outfield is absolutely stacked, but what do you do with a guy like Mickey Moniak? What do you do with a guy like Jake McCarthy? What do you do with a guy like Brenton Doyle? Like, Brenton Doyle has probably lost his spot on this team. Right? I mean, it is now Cole Kerrig,
center field.
Can you get
anything for him?
Doyle? Probably not. Probably not. He's great defensively, but he has just struggled at the plate. So, it's hard to look at a team, to your point, and say they're 37-54. Who are the untouchables? But there has to be a couple. The Rockies, it's time to move on from Ezekiel Tovar. He's not going to figure it out. He hasn't figured it out. Yeah, he's very solid defensively, but they've got to move on from Tovar. Moniak's probably a guy that you move on from. Jake McCarthy seems to just be hitting a stride. I don't know, but no matter what they do, I'm going to be behind him, because I think Paul does it. I think Paul knows what he's doing.
What's tough to try to make some of these moves now is, yeah, you have the argument of don't be so loyal to these guys, get them while their value's up, but you're actually seeing a turnaround, and if breaking that up somehow messes with any of that, whatever's going on with the Rockies, I know they still need pitching. But I'm actually of the mindset, just keep filling it up with hitters and go win games, 12-10. That's what you're going to get at Coors Field. Let's do it. Let's own it.
You now need, and the thing with that too is, It took 1 year of Paul DeBodesta to get rid of the Coors Field hangover. It took 1 year of that because he came in and said, okay, Rockies were 30th in the league in runs scored on the road last year. They would bash at Coors Field and then they wouldn't do anything on the road. They're up to 11th. In the MLB, in runs scored on the road, it's unbelievable how quick of a turnaround it truly has been. And with the guys that they get, and like, listen, Sean Keeler was on your program early in the MLB season saying, oh, they're going to have a negative 300 run differential. It's negative 89 now. Yeah. I mean, it's not the worst run differential in the league.
The climb is real.
Baseball at altitude, baby.
Baseball and Miley Cyrus, the climb. All right, 49 minutes after the hour. We'll wrap up today's show. Coming up next, what did we learn here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Should be a busy offseason for the Avalanche and the Nuggets. What needs to change? Follow along with us on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Sean Keeler of the Denver Post. You're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
All right, what did we learn on this sixth day of July? We learned that hot dog eating contest is not in my, any more of them at least, is not in my future. I will not be participating in any kind of an eating contest in the foreseeable future. We also learned that LeBron James, it is a realistic possibility also that he could be a Denver Nugget, although all the teams that were in the running have now heard zero, zilch, nada. And it seems like Cleveland might be leading in the odds department. Michael, what did you learn today?
Well, first of all, I'm going to challenge you to an eating contest.
I've already said no, so
I'm challenging you again.
No.
The challenge is out there.
It's not going to be taken.
Challenge
what's
is
your,
out there.
What's your least favorite food?
My least favorite food?
Yeah.
It's got to be some vegetable.
Okay. We'll have a broccoli eating contest. But you can
put
nothing.
Oh, no, I don't
want
to do that. That,
well,
that
I already
gets
won.
Stuck in my teeth.
All right, Mike. We'll be back.
Is boiled broccoli? Because that
eat. Mm-mm. Whatever. You're tipping your hand here. You're telling me all your least favorite versions of foods, and that's what I'm going to pick.
Yeah, my least favorite food, Brady, is pizza.
I don't think anybody believes that. That'll do it for us. We'll be back at it tomorrow. Good night, Northern Colorado.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.